In May 2006, a teenager stole a phone in New York. Normally, this would be a forgettable incident, filed away as lost property by the NYPD. But what happened next revealed a seismic shift in human organization. The victim's friend created a simple webpage documenting the theft. Within days, over a million people viewed the page. An army of strangers, lawyers, tech experts, amateur detectives, uncovered the thief's identity, address, and even recorded video outside her house. The NYPD, suddenly drowning in public pressure, reversed course and made an arrest. One ordinary person had commanded more coordinated power than any pre-internet citizen could dream of. This wasn't an anomaly. It was a preview of everything that would follow, from Arab Spring protests to Wikipedia, from flash mobs to global movements born in someone's bedroom. We've crossed a threshold where the barriers to group action have collapsed, and nobody, not corporations, not governments, not traditional institutions, fully grasped what this meant. Humans excel at collaboration, building skyscrapers, performing symphonies, coordinating global supply chains. But historically, transaction costs have brutally limited our social instincts. Managing groups is inherently complex. 36 people create over 600 possible connections. Coordination difficulty grows exponentially, which is why we invented hierarchies and bureaucracies. Economist Ronald Coase explained that firms exist precisely to reduce these coordination costs. The catch? Activities whose coordination costs exceed their value simply don't happen. Consider the Mermaid Parade in Coney Island. In 2004, hundreds of photographers took pictures that languished in desk drawers. In 2005, those same photographers pooled thousands of images on Flickr using a simple tag. No coordinator, no permission, no planning. When the London bombings happened that year, citizen photos appeared on Flickr before professional journalists arrived. The platform became an impromptu crisis response center. This is the revolution. When transaction costs collapse, previously impossible forms of collaboration suddenly become effortless. In the 15th century, scribes copied manuscripts by hand until Gutenberg's movable type made books reproducible faster than they could be read. The profession vanished. Yet in 1492, Abbot Johannes Trithemius wrote a passionate defense of scribal tradition and published it using a printing press. Newspapers repeated this pattern in the 2000s. When Senator Trent Lott praised Strom Thurmond's segregationist 1948 campaign, mainstream media ignored it. Bloggers kept the story alive until traditional outlets had to respond. Newspaper executives dismissed bloggers as amateurs, just as they dismissed Craigslist and eBay while these platforms drained their ad revenue. Their professional narcissism had them defending against the wrong threats. They took only other professional outlets seriously. What they missed was mass amateurization. When reproduction, distribution, and categorization become simple, professional gatekeepers transform from essential intermediaries into optional middlemen. The median MySpace user has just two friends. These aren't failed publishers, they're people having conversations in public. The distinction between broadcast media and personal communication has dissolved into many-to-many patterns that professionals never anticipated. Wikipedia launched in 2001 after Newpedia, an expert-driven encyclopedia, produced fewer than 20 articles in 9 months. Co-founder Larry Sanger suggested using a wiki, allowing anyone to edit directly. Skeptics predicted chaos. Within weeks, Wikipedia surpassed Newpedia's count. By year's end, it had 15,000 articles. Today, it rivals Britannica in accuracy while covering topics traditional encyclopedias ignore. During the 2005 London bombings, users expanded an article from 5 sentences to comprehensive coverage in 4 hours. The secret isn't better writers, it's more of them. Articles begin as simple stubs that draw contributors who spontaneously divide labor. Some add content, others edit, some add references, others fix errors. Just 6 of 129 contributors made a quarter of all edits to asphalt articles, a pattern repeated platform-wide. Vandalism triggers community response within minutes. Like Japan's Aisei Shrine, rebuilt every couple decades for 1,300 years, Wikipedia's permanence stems from continuous community engagement, not fixed structure. Its sustainability relies on what traditional organizations can't manufacture: users' commitment to both the project and each other. Flash mobs in Belarus became potent political tools against Lukashenko's regime. Protesters gathered to eat ice cream, read banned books, or smile in Oktyabrskaya Square. Police arrested them while participants uploaded documentation to Flickr and LiveJournal, exposing state repression globally. The government faced an impossible dilemma. They couldn't prevent publicly announced gatherings or break them up without creating damaging evidence. This represents a fundamental power shift. Germany's 1940 Blitzkrieg succeeded not through superior tanks, French Charbis outperformed German panzers, but through radios enabling real-time coordination. Individual tanks became a coordinated weapon. The same principle powers modern movements. Falun Gong assembled 10,000 people at Zhongnanhai through text messages, shocking Chinese authorities. Filipino citizens coordinated via mobile phones against President Estrada. Kate Haney transformed airline passenger frustration into collective action within weeks. Egyptian programmer Alaa Abdel Fattah documented his detention through tweets, turning a minimalist platform into a transparency tool. Speed changes everything, enabling action that governments can neither prevent nor suppress without triggering global documentation. Social dilemmas can only be optimized, never solved. The prisoner's dilemma shows how self-interest produces worse outcomes, but repeated interactions enable cooperation through the shadow of the future, the expectation of continued reciprocity. This is social capital. Your neighbor walks your dog while you're ill. A shopkeeper trusts you to pay later. Scott Heiferman created Meetup after reading Robert Putnam's Bowling Alone, seeing opportunity in reducing the transaction costs of gathering. Stay-at-home moms became unexpectedly popular, puzzling since mothers have gathered for millennia. But suburbanization raised transaction costs dramatically. Houses separated from commerce, car-centric transportation preventing chance encounters, social gravity shifting from neighborhoods to workplaces. When teen magazine YM shut down its bulletin board in 2002 to prevent pro-anorexia girls from sharing dangerous tips, it revealed how technology changed group formation. These groups now operate under the Koosian floor, where dramatically lowered transaction costs make gathering possible regardless of social approval. Like-minded people can now locate and cooperate independently of society's blessing or condemnation. The 2008 Sichuan earthquake demonstrated social media's transformative power. News spread globally within minutes through QQ and Twitter, with citizens uploading photos before official coverage. Wikipedia created a page within 40 minutes. Donation sites appeared within hours. When parents of approximately 5,000 children killed in collapsed schools protested corrupt construction, they used these networks to organize. Ordinary citizens radicalized by tragedy, with direct communication channels to each other and the world. We often misjudge which technologies truly transform society. Mid-20th century debates focused on the atomic age or space age. The real revolutionaries? The transistor and birth control pill. Unglamorous, but transformative. Those born before 1980 remember life before group communication tools. But in revolutionary times, experience becomes a liability. Just as calculators became ubiquitous, we're taking social tools for granted. The ability to share, cooperate, and act together is improving dramatically, reshaping society in ways we're only beginning to understand. The revolution isn't coming, it's here, embedded in every text message, every shared photo, every spontaneous gathering.